Hey everyone, it's Judy from Stirring Words, where Kim and I chat every week about God's wisdom on wellness. Now be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a session. But in the meantime, listen in now on our weekly phone conversation.
Miss Kimberly.
Hey, Judy. How are you doing today, sister?
I love saying that. Miss Kimberly. I love saying that.
That's too funny. And I love hearing it too, sister. So I'm glad to hear from you this week. This is awesome.
Well, good.
Ah, God is good, sister. And we have been covering some heavy topics these past few sessions. And we're actually continuing our session on escaping the briar patch of food addiction. And last week we discussed that, and some of our listeners might wonder, why is she calling addiction a briar patch? Well, the parable of the sower that Jesus told us inspired that phrase. And he told us about seed that was sown in four types of ground. However, out of the four types, only one of them yielded a fruit crop. Now, one of the ground types that did not yield fruit was the seed sown on thorny ground. And here are the relevant scriptures from Mark chapter 4, verses 3, verses 7, and 18 through 19. This is just a recap. And Mark chapter 4, verse 3 says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow." And we drop down to verse 7 and it says, "And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." And then finally in verse 18 through 19, it says, "Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things entering in, choke the word and becomes unfruitful." So I count addiction as falling into that desire for other things category. So last week we started defining some thorny issues that can support addiction. However, before we get into that, I'm going to ask Judy to pray us in and then read the focus scripture, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12.
Yes, ma'am. Let's pray. Gracious, gracious, gracious Father. All of us have thorny issues in our lives. And your word is true that those thorny issues can choke your holy word. So I just pray for everyone who hears my voice right now, and for Kim and I, that you would help us to keep our eyes on you. Pull us from those temptations in the world, the flesh, and the devil. But we can't do it. We can't just do it, as Nike says, Lord. We need you to transform our hearts. And we need your strength to pull us out of the briar patch. We ask in the name and the power of Jesus the Christ. Amen. And our great verse, this is a great verse, 1 Corinthians 6:12. "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any."
Wow. And that is such a powerful scripture for just a short little couple of sentences there, but it's very powerful. And so one of the things that I want to be sure that our listeners get in these sessions is that living an addiction rather than an abundant life in Christ puts thorns and thistles in our way, and it makes our life journey dark and difficult. And that's not what the Lord wants for us. And as believers in Jesus, our desire is to bear spiritual fruit for God's glory. And Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 verses 22 through 23 defines love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So last week, I stated that five elements are likely supporting an addictive lifestyle where food is concerned. And number one was false identity, which is what we talked about last week. Number two is belief strongholds. Number three is emotional attachments to a specific food. Number four is robot routines. And then finally, number five is binge provisions, which is also known as a secret stash. And so last week, like I mentioned, we covered false identity. And that's a thorny issue because a person can justify things like excess sugar consumption as this is just the way I am or I will never change, which contradicts God's word in this matter. And we also discussed that pride and rebellion leads to resistance to change. So if a false identity is an issue for you, I highly recommend listening to last week's session to start getting free. Now, in this week's session, we're going to cover another two addiction supports, which are belief strongholds and emotional attachments to a specific food. So let's go ahead and cover those belief strongholds first. Have you ever had thoughts of that try to rationalize indulgence in sugary foods such as, I can't live without it, or I'll die if I don't have it? Or you could say things like, I deserve it, or it's not fair that they can eat this without problems and I can't. Now, a pastor I once heard broke down the word rationalize as rational space lies. And I want you to pause and think about that because I want to ask you a serious question. Do you tend to minimize the negative effects of sugar or any other food that's hurting you, such as how it robs your body of nutrients, or avoid confronting binging on sugar, as in, I'll think about it tomorrow? And I always call that the Scarlett O'Hara syndrome from the movie Gone with the Wind. Now, our minds are like courtrooms. Our self-talk presents arguments when we must make decisions. The side with the strongest argument, like the prosecutor versus the defense, will win. So if you have thoughts like I mentioned and do not take them captive with the truth of God's word, then those old persuasive arguments will win, even if they are based on lies. Sugar indulgence does lead to blood sugar instability, binge eating, and typically weight gain over time. Scientific research is even finding that chronic inflammation, which can occur from sugar or overindulgence in processed foods, regularly intaking those type of things, is a risk factor of Alzheimer's disease or dementia later in life. So, Judy, I'm just curious about this. Share your thoughts about seeing your mental space as like a courtroom with a defense and a prosecutor making their case. Now, our goal is to build a strong case that's enough to tear down any mental stronghold. What do you think about seeing your mind as like a mental courtroom?
I think that's a fabulous analogy. I've never thought it within that kind of analogy. I think it's fabulous. Before I comment on that, I just have to give kudos to whoever that pastor was, because that comment is also so profound. You talk about rationalizing indulgence.
Yes.
And I'm raising my hand, like I could say, oh, it wasn't that big deal that, you know, I cussed or ripped somebody a new head. But rationalize is rational lies. Oh my gosh, that's huge. Because when you talk about the back and forth and the back and forth when we're processing something similar to a courtroom, there's no question. It's the good cop and the bad cop, right?
Yes.
And so I can envision that when my crime is demanding my own way. You know, for me, the defense attorney, my defense attorney for grace comes in my morning quiet time. I'm reminded I'm to love others, to be slow to anger. I'm just filled with his grace through his word. And then I go out in the world and, you know, somebody ticks me off, right? And the prosecuting attorney's just my words, like, I don't have time for this. How dare you? You know, and it's all about me. So the word is so clear. It warns of the hazards of the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in those times of temptation where the world is luring us, the flesh is luring us, the devil is luring us, in those times, through the strength of the Spirit, we have got to listen to that defense attorney,
yes,
which is God's word. And we need to hear, I even took it a step further, and we need to hear the judge proclaim, I object. No, that's unacceptable evidence when Satan is lying, rational lies. You know, we think they're rational and they are lies. And last comment in the whole courtroom thing, I started thinking about clemency. Clemency is the power that actually the president has in a federal case to basically offer legal reprieve to a person who's convicted of the crime. He's either pardons him or gives him a lesser sentence. And Jesus' death on the cross is our clemency.
Mm.
So back to that courtroom, you know, even if we go back and forth and back and forth and we listen to the prosecuting attorney and we screw it all up and we sin, we succumb to our pride, we can go to the judge and he will give us clemency.
Mm. I love that. And that is so beautiful, Judy. And I am so grateful that Jesus died for our sins. And he says that if we're faithful, if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that is a wonderful word in the New Testament that tells us that if we're honest with God and confess, then he forgives. And that's the state that we're meant to live in, that we know that we have been forgiven by God of our sins, which out of gratitude allows us to extend that same type of grace towards other people. When they do something to hurt us, then we offer forgiveness as well, just as God forgave us. So that is a wonderful thing. And I'm thankful that the Spirit brought that to you, sister. So let's go ahead and look at this other support for addictions. And this one is a little bit more tricky, I would say, perhaps, for some of us. And that is an emotional attachment to a specific food. And this is something I wanted to bring up, Judy, because this is something that I have received over the, I would say, several years that I've had Take Back Your Temple online. We started in 2006, actually. And occasionally I'll get an email from a Take Back Your Temple reader, and they'll say something like, you know, dealing with this food issue is so hard because we have to eat. We have to eat, and we're always confronted with the need to feed ourselves. And that is true, that no matter what happens in our lives, we must feed ourselves because it is an issue of survival. However, the foods that we choose to feed ourselves with, that is completely within our control to choose. And we know that there are some foods that are helpful to us, like just like our focus scripture. And there are some foods that are hurtful to us that make life more difficult. So yes, we do have to feed ourselves, but we don't have to feed ourselves food that hurt us, that we know hurt us. So here's a question that I want to ask our listeners. And I want you to consider this. Do specific sugary foods or a carbohydrate have an emotional meaning that you have associated with them? Such as, this particular food means stressful relief for me, or this particular food, I see it as a cure for loneliness. Now, for example, I used to view some of these types of foods, like my Pepperidge Farm coconut cake, as a comfort after a stressful day at work when I was a registered nurse. And it's almost, I guess it's kind of embarrassing to admit this, but it's the truth and I'm being transparent. But back then I acted as if I believed that food was my God. And I'm pausing because I want you listeners to think about that. That was my experience. I believed, and I went to my Pepperidge Farm coconut cake when I felt stressed out or frustrated by something that happened at work. I would go to that food. I would not go to my God, but I would go to that food in hopes that it would numb me out, that I wouldn't have to think about it anymore, pretty much like an alcoholic might go to alcohol. Now, listen to this, because this is something that God put on my heart many years ago to really confront how I was acting as if food was my God, where I did not go to God, I went to food instead. So to see what I mean, I want you to imagine how some popular Bible verses would sound if you replace God or Lord with the word food. And I'm going to go ahead and speak these, and I want you to imagine what this means. So we know, and I'll just give you the real scripture and then I'll give you the fake one. But the real scripture says the joy of the Lord is my strength. But I was living like the joy of food is my strength. And then there's the second scripture, and I'm just going to read the false version here. Food heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in food. Trust in food with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge food, and it shall direct your path. And then finally, the righteous man will be glad in food and will take refuge in it, and all the upright in heart will glory. And see, it sounds ridiculous when you think about it like that, but that is how I was living, and it may be how some of you listeners are living as well. So it's important that we confront these things to be sure that food does not gain outsized importance in our lives. So Judy, I want you to share your thoughts about those replacements and how it really brings this issue into sharp focus, in which people can learn to or become trusting in food to fix everything in their lives rather than relying upon God to help them with the challenges of life that they're facing.
You know, I have to tell you, Kim, it makes me really sad. Like listening to those verses be bastardized like that made me so sad. And it makes me sad because what you're saying is so true. And if it's not food, it's social media. The joy of social media is my strength. Money heals the brokenhearted. Take heart, all you who hope in relationships or your career or the success of your children. We are so easily distracted, Kim, that it makes me so sad. When you think about, I love the Old Testament. And I just finished Genesis. I'm now in Exodus. And I just read Exodus 14 yesterday, when God parted the Red Sea. I mean, come on, really? Two things. One, he backed them into that corner. He said, y'all go over there, which was their backs right up to the Red Sea. So they weren't in jeopardy by accident. And we need to remember, we don't get ourselves in a kerfuffle most of the time by accident. I mean, sometimes we cause our own trouble, but God can lead us to a place that's difficult where we need to rely on him. So he has just parted the Red Sea. They get to the other side. The Pharaoh and all the 600 carriages, they all drown. And 3 days later, they're having a hard time finding potable water, and they're murmuring all over again. Kim, we so quickly go to doubt, go to idols, and I yet again raise my hand and say, my idol is my peace and quiet. Don't mess with me. I got stuff to do, and don't inconvenience me with your ineptness. So I could say that the joy of a peaceful life, of my peace and quiet, is my strength. So what you just did is so powerful for all of us to look at our idols and say, on what are we relying? To what do we give the highest value? To what are we giving the lion's share of our time? Where do we find our strength? Where do we find our hope? You know, one of the sessions I'd like to do soon, because I think it's so profound, is in the Old Testament, people were bowing. They were prostrate on the ground before the great I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And that is something, because God does deserve, he deserves our humility, that we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, and he is the one who lifts us up. And Judy, it is a profound thing to think about. It's a sobering issue to think about. And it just made me want to go back and look at that scripture once again from Mark chapter 4, verse 18 through 19 is what I mean. And those scriptures, I'm reading them again. Now, these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things, entering in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Jesus said, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, not a little fruit, but you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. So God wants us to abound in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. So if there is anything that is in our lives that we've come to depend on that's impacting our fruitfulness, then we need to get rid of that thing. That thing needs to go, because it has become an idol. So this is, again, I know it's another heavy subject, but these are things that are impacting our ability to enjoy the abundant life that Jesus himself died to give us. And if God says that we can have it, if he wants it for us, then why would we settle for less than God's best for us? So thank you so much for sharing that, sister. And for our listeners, unless you find a healthier way of filling your legitimate emotional needs, and Judy's need for rest, that's legitimate. She has decided, she knows for herself that that's how she functions best in that environment, but you don't want it to become outsized, where you say to yourself somehow that that is more important than your relationship with God, that somehow it's interfering with your relationship with God. It's taking away your peace. It's taking away your joy. It's impacting your ability to love others as God loves you. Those are things that are the antithesis of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Just as me binging on sugar and cake and putting myself into a sugar coma, that was the antithesis of the abundant life that Jesus wanted for me, because I did not have peace about that behavior. So we don't want anything in our lives that we've come to depend on, which is the definition of addiction. We talked about that before. We want our dependency to be solely upon God to help us to cope with the challenges of life. So now this is my action invitation for the week. And once again, it's something that I just want you to meditate on. But as the old saying goes, you cannot conquer what you will not confront. So with God's presence, we gain courage to do the things that we might otherwise shy away from. So I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord in prayer to reveal to you whether any belief strongholds are keeping you trapped in the briar patch of food addiction, sugar addiction, whatever the addiction is, and to give you ways to build a strong case. Remember the mental courtroom, a strong case to defeat them. And also ask the Lord in prayer to reveal to you any emotional food attachments that you might have, and have the courage to replace it with a healthier alternative, something that you like just as well, but you know is something that helps you and not hurts you, and that you rely upon God to meet your emotional needs with His comfort, His wisdom, and in His strength. So, Judy, I think we have a few extra moments. So do you have any final thoughts about escaping the briar patch of food addiction? Because otherwise I'll go ahead and pray us out.
One of the things that I cherish is reading, I want to say it's John 17, when Jesus prayed for us. Before he went to the cross, he prayed for us. He prayed for those in the world and those who would come after them. He knew that this world was full of thistles and thorns and briar patches. And he prayed that as we kept our eyes on him, our faith in him, that we could be plants that bear fruit. And so it's just so heartening to know that he prayed for us over 2,000 years ago, and that he promises to transform us. And so when we find ourselves in the briar patch, when we find ourselves once again being tempted, don't do like Adam and Eve did and hide. We need to come before him, confess that, say, Lord, I'm tempted. I was so not nice to that woman. And I am sorry. Change my heart. Sprinkle my heart with clean water. And he will do it.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Because we are being transformed into the image of our dear Savior from glory to glory and faith to faith. And the Lord has promised to never leave us, to never forsake us. And he is committed to the good work that he has started in us. And he has promised that he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So let us pray. Thank you, Judy. Gracious Heavenly Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, Lord, we are just overjoyed that we are not alone in this battle, Lord. We know that we are in the world, but we are not of this world. And you have promised that Jesus himself will return for us. But in the meantime, Lord, we want to be like a wise servant, Lord, that we keep our hearts fixed on you, that we are committed to the good work that you have started in us, that we receive the love that you have for us, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. Jesus himself said those were the two greatest commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. So, Lord, thank you so much that by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us, that He gives us power to do just that. He helps us to do what we cannot do in our flesh. So we thank you, Lord God. We honor, we glorify you, and we magnify you. We ask, Lord, that you illuminate these issues in our listeners' lives so they can be set free, Lord, because we know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we thank you, we honor, we glorify you, and we magnify you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, sister. And I would simply like to say to our listeners, thank you. Thank you that you listen to us every week. Kim and I would be really sad if we had nobody listening. But you have been faithful. And we also want to thank those who are partnering with us financially. And if you are not and are being blessed by Stirring Words, we would welcome your partnership. And you can do that at takebackyourtemple.com/donations. So thank you, all you who hear my voice, which means you've listened. And thank you, Kim, for another great session. And God willing, why don't we do it next week?
Oh, I believe we will if God should grant us the time. So, sister, I love you so much. And God willing, we will speak next week.
Love you big. Love
you. Thanks for listening to Stirring Words. We hope that our podcast is a trusted partner on your wellness journey. If so, please pray about partnering with us in ministry financially and subscribe at takebackyourtemple.com/donation. Keep tuning in on your favorite podcast platform so you don't miss a session. And be sure to tell your friends about us. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to Kim at takebackyourtemple.com and Judy at holyhealthclub.com. Until next week, may you be stirred by God's transformative word.